15 game in Israel.
Yes.
My fourth visit here. Seems older and friends invited me here 3 years ago. And lovely to see the growth and the expansion of interest in this more exploration of what it means to be in this world. And sitting beside me is Charles Giroux from Switzerland. Some months ago, Stephen telephoned me. Christopher, there's too many for you. You'll be half dead at the end of the week unless you bring somebody from somewhere to for the small groups and the one-to-one meeting. So I contacted Charles, a Dharma teacher, Vipassana teacher, and at very short notice, he very kindly agreed to come. And Charles is really embarrassed when I say this, but he's a rather famous Western yogi and has since 1970 tremendous exploration to spiritual teaching, Mahayana tradition, Theravada tradition. And a few days ago, he just got back from Tibet, where he took a group of Western Buddhist scholars and others to Tibet. And I just said to him a little while ago, how many times, Charles, have you been to Tibet? He said, it's my 17th trip. So here's a little example of his love and knowledge and very extensive experience in the matters of teachings and practices and for myself. Delighted privilege for him to come here, and we have known each other years, of course, and we were teaching last time previously in France all together. And Stephen Fulda, who's sitting over there, I'm still trying to get him to sit up here with us so we don't feel lonely. Very kindly, once again, offered to give assistance with regards to the small group meeting, because it is so very important that we do have time and opportunity to check in with you, how your experience is going, any questions that you might have. And Stephen is one of those, many of you will know already, who is one of the co-founders and initiators of these kinds of teachings and practices here in Israel over the last several years. And I asked Stephen, because I would like to make a very special thank you to an extensive number of people who have been very formidable in helping to put this together. Most of us, you and for me, coming in here is relatively easy. Get on a plane, we get off a plane, and we arrive, and cooks are here, managers are here, people are registered, settle in rather quickly. So I've got a list that I asked for, which I offer this to people who have contributing a lot of time and effort to organize this. So that's Yael, Danny, Rachel, Simi, Shawn, Dan, Yipat, Nurit, Tami and Rohan, and Steve, and others as well. So I think we've been contacted, made a lot of work, and the cooperation. Here on the flight, or the NL flight here yesterday evening, I was sitting talking to an Israeli diplomat, actually for quite a long time, about 3 hours, we had a very nice conversation together. And on the plane, I noticed this young man walked down the gangway to the toilet, And I thought, oh, I recognize you. And this young man is I saw him when I was in the spirit with my teenage daughter. We were watching MTV. I used to think in fact M stood for magnet, but my daughter this is that for music. And there's a man called Aviv Gehat on the plane. And there was a concert of this in Tel Aviv that is on MTV, and then they interviewed him afterwards. And I enjoyed listening to the interview, and I thought, there's a man, that guy, 21 years old, who's got his opinion, and not shy of expressing them. So then walked down the corridor of the plane, the thought arose in my mind that maybe he and I are in similar businesses, insofar as he gives concerts of kind of rock people's bodies and places retreats and hopefully rock people's minds, excuse me. So there's quite a good crowd of people waiting for him at the arrival at the young cinema for him. And the airport rather sweet. I like it. So that is there for music. So I'd like to speak to you in this initial period about the retreat, about the time and that we have together through the day. I would like to speak to you a little bit about the background to the retreat, about the meditation, and some of the essential and vital aspects of what all this is in relationship to and essentially what it's all about. Firstly, if I may just address rather briefly, and that is the past and the historical factors. One of the words which you will be hearing with regularity from Charles and I during the today is the word dharma. D-H-A-R-M-A. And the word dharma means teaching, but it's teaching with one central core thread. Teachings for the liberation of the human being. Teachings to know what freedom is. Teaching must contribute to awakening of the heart, the deep essence in life, the depth of meditation, genuine self-knowledge, and freedom of being cannot be taken away by anything, internal or external. So the word dharma is teaching point of liberation. And in the history of this, some would say, oh, well, perhaps the teaching originated in the East, India, or whatever. A kind of convenient way of looking, but much more deeply, they originate in the hearts and minds of men and women on this earth who said, let's stop, let's be still, let's abide in silence, and let's look very carefully at what it is to be in this existence. We, as human beings, participate in active breathing, feeling, thinking on this earth, and look at it again and again. And being, as I say, a long-standing tradition, and it's a tremendous credit to men and women teaching liberation. The waking up the heart with wisdom and compassion, matter and matter a great deal. In the East, if I may say, I spent 10 years in the East, 6 years in the Buddhist monks in Thailand and India, so I have some experience of life in the East. That in the East, to some degree, that did become helpfully and unhelpfully institutionalized through monasticism. Monastic life gave privilege to men. Monastic life kept some preservation of the teachings which benefit of it, but somewhat behind closed doors. The long historical effect of this, I would say, general terms, that too much teachings were rather held for the ordained, those with shaven head and robe, not just those with like to shave their head. And I think there are exceptions of that, of course, in history, but I think we in the West have an important opportunity to say, can these teachings and experiences and explorations be applied as well, as effectively, as clearly in the mainstream of existence? Not just the monastery, not just the specialized activities like being a monk and nun or whatever, but for women and men like ourselves here, take root in a valuable and significant way. The only way that that can happen is through practice. Not through books, not through theory, it's by people saying, let's meditate together, let's meet together, let's look at things together, let's inquire together, let's awaken the heart and mind together. That's how it will take root. To some degree, in terms of your coming here, we will find out as the time goes by. I think there's a genuine wish, and in the Dharma of the Buddha, he spoke of it frequently, to find the middle way. Some of us, and I am one of those, one of my common conceptions in the middle way is to find a middle ground between, on the one side, secularism or consumerism, which often has as its priority the elevation of the self, the prioritizing of self-interest through success, through career, through affluence, through economic advantages, etc. That's one extreme for some of us. And the other would be strict religious orthodoxy, which is a feature in many religions, including Buddhism. And to find some middle ground between these, which gives acknowledgement to spiritual experience and a place of it in everyday life. And we're here through our experience to look at our relationship to what it is to be. And therefore, that might, for some people, include and embrace at times our relationship to our secular life, our relationship to our religious traditions, if we have them, or whatever. From Charles and I and Stephen, I would like to make it clear as possible. It doesn't interest me to promote Buddhism. I'm looking for converts, plenty of Buddhists in the world already. Why do we want to have more? More important is practices and teaching for awareness, for touching of the heart, respect for existence, and deep clarity of our life and being. That's more important. And that's our focus and our priority. One of the other words which you will hear in various ways over the time here, and this is the word vipassana. It's an awful mouthful. I have made a vow to use this word as little as possible. And the word vipassana, some of you will be familiar with, means insight. It literally means, in English language, very simple translation, it means insight. Insight into life, insight into our mind, into our heart, into our body, insight into the nature of things, insight which helps us understand and make the difference, a valuable, useful, beneficial difference. So it's called vipassana meditation. Meditation for insight. Meditation to see clearly the strength, the diversity of the tradition of impact from that is immense. I was just giving a commentary last year on a 7th century Chinese poem by a Vipassana teacher about his experiences in Vipassana. And there was that many schools and traditions of this Vipassana tradition, meditation for the purpose of insight. And I had said to my Dharma friend, I said that this word is so long, people pronounce it in so many different ways. I've had a great idea, I wouldn't call it an insight, but a great idea. Let's call it VIP, for short, VIP. I mean, VIP meditation, what would be better? But anyway, they like the word, so I got voted down. So, in VIP meditation, no, sorry, in Vipassana meditation, insight meditation, we regard, in terms of the meditation, every activity of the day as having equal value, it's important, equal value. So that through the rhythm of the day that you and I and we have here together, it includes sitting meditation. Why? Because you and I spend a lot of our time sitting places, aeroplanes and cars and trains and buses and offices and factories and homes. We spend a lot of time in this posture. We spend a lot of time walking. When we walk on this earth. Let's be connected with that. So Charles and I will be speaking to you about walking meditation. We'll be speaking to you about standing meditation, because we spend a lot of time standing on this earth. Sometimes it's walk, standing, waiting, but it's standing nevertheless. And we spend time reclining. So human beings pass frequently through the rhythm of the day, sitting, walking, and standing, and reclining. And in teaching, it says yes to connection with the moment, which questions belief, which can overshadow it. The teachings are trying to find some balance. What is it to be here and now? What is it to be really present to life? To feel the life through one's bones. To sense it. To be touched by it. To be intimate with it. What would that do to the psyche? What influence would that have on our thinking? On our relationship? On what matters? And when you and I, we would explore this through the days that we have this. In being here, firstly, I would initially like to apologize. As you know, being, because I'm English, I think we must be the laziest group of in terms of learning foreign language. And the English in their British and colonial attitude traveled all over this earth to colonize it and force people to learn English because they were too lazy to do it, learn their other people's language. And we've had, if I may say, some reminders of this, because after great pomp and ceremony, which made me laugh, the English left Hong Kong. Instead of just leaving 150 years ago, they finally have left. And I mention all of this because my apology is that in coming here, I don't know Hebrew. And there's only three words I've learned in Hebrew. Shalom. I got the other two, a typical Englishman. Shalom. Tosha, and Gaia. And that's probably not pronounced very well, but it's pronounced well enough. And so my hope is during the 3 days that we have, the days that we have here together, that you will have mountains and rivers of Sharon. It would be an extremely kosher retreat at every level. And the Goyim here don't dominate the scene, you know. And if with regard to small group meetings, there's any, sometimes with the English, a little difficulty, or either or one of them, then what has happened in the past, as Jean-Michel said before, used to English practice translation. And Dr. and I are just talking a little bit before that also some summary, I think, can be given in the board here if you're having any difficulty following their information. With regards to the day, and I'll just take a few minutes, if I may, to speak a little bit about the timetable. And it's been a very good policy over the years, if I may say, I've been a small servant from the Dharma for the last 20 years, that we never send out the timetable to people before they get here. Because I have a feeling if the numbers would shrink dramatically and only the hardcore yogis would be here, probably talking to ourselves. So, before you came in here.
Thank you.
Before you came in here, the timetable for the retreat has gone on the notice board. But since we have a co-relationship with the climate, we've made some forms changes. And what we have done is we're starting the day at 5:30 in the morning, and wake up and exercise, and then there are a couple of sitting meditations with breakfast at 8:50, on the timetable, and then lunch is at 1:30. There's breakfast, of course. Lunch is at 1:30, and then so people can have a siesta. I have to eat for it because it's the adults. Probably be my fourth one. Really? Right, take your need some education and the pronunciation. And then the afternoon, we'll get underway at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and we'll flow through until 10 p.m. in the evening. Having said that, some of you will gasp. But it's a relatively light and accommodating regime here. And what that means that we are honestly respectful to people's energy flows and rhythms. So there are a lot of sitting meditations today, there are walking meditations today, there are standing meditations, etc. But we leave it to your wisdom, pardon me, of the fullness of the day. But our request is for silence and the support in the meditation hall. Do please be in the hall within 5 minutes of the beginning of the sitting. The reason that is especially important for the women and men, who all of us, but we're sitting close to the door. And once in here, please can, of course, stay through until the end of the sitting, the same silence and the stillness is, unless there's some priority or emergency or whatever, so that with sitting meditation maximize the time of the sitting period in terms of the silence itself. Each day, either Charles or I, in the first sitting after breakfast, there would be meditation instructions, and we tried to make them as clear and beneficial as possible. And I'll also pin up on the notice board this evening or first thing tomorrow morning the basic instructions with regard to each of the four postures: sit, walk, stand, and recline. And the instructions do change a little bit, not dramatically, but a little bit from one day to the next. So we would like to encourage you, obviously, to attend the conference after breakfast time. In the afternoon period, tomorrow afternoon, Charles will give a guided meditation working with the breath, and people say that the guided meditation do help and contribute quite a lot to getting centered, getting grounded, that sense of being present. There are also regularly through the day inquiry meditations in the hall, in which it gives me the opportunity with a number of you to explore the Dharma of life. Any questions, any concerns, anything he wants to say. And I can say from previous visits here, they're not dull. and they have good dialogue, good exchanges there for the benefit of one and all. In the fall here, all together there are managers, coordinators, teachers, something in the region, 140, 150 people who are here. So it would require from you generosity of spirit with regard to space and support there. You might need patience, it might take you 10 minutes to find what is your sandal. And all of that, and that needs a fair degree of tolerance and mutual cooperation and coexistence over the days that we have here together. In the hall itself, of those of you who want to retreat here, very, very roughly from what I know, about half of you, it's the first time you've been on a retreat. First time exposure to these things is new for you, and we hope as much as we can to ensure for you that it's a helpful, beneficial, and insightful period of time. We want you to have as much access to us as possible through small groups, meeting, one-to-one inquiries, and so forth, so that you keep in touch with us. There are others here who have a lot of experience in these areas and issues, who have participated regularly in retreats in Israel, who have been in India, Thailand, Burma, Nepal, USA, Guy House, England, etc. And there's a lot of experience in this hall as well, plenty of it. So, naturally enough, our wish and our intention is to meet and give support to each and every person, whether it's your very first time here or you're in the category of the golden oldies and with a lot of time and experience. So the teaching and the instructions we hope will reflect both concerns. Profound and deep teachings will be communicated over these days unambiguously about liberation. And teachings about all the practices, the explorations which contribute to it. So I said quite a bit, and I will ask Charles to speak to you. He'll speak to you about the importance of silence here, about the ethical foundations which give support to all of us in our days here. Of meditation instructions, the sitting period there together. And then we'll come to the end of the day, and then I'll just speak a couple of minutes just at the very end. So I'll pass the clip over.
Into our exploration of things. So it's not sometimes it is felt like a burden, especially when we meet very good friends and that we only meet maybe this time of the year, and we feel that it would be so nice to share something. I'm so happy about this retreat, or I'm so depressed about this retreat, so I want to tell this person, you know. That's a good temptation, very strong temptation, but still, about that. First, you don't know what is the state of mind of the other person. The other person may feel quiet and may feel like keeping the silence. So you cannot decide for the other person. Of course, if you go with a good friend and he or she may answer, and then after 10 minutes, you may just chat very nicely. Then in the next sitting, you can reveal the chat you asked. That was nice, I should have said that, go and I should have changed. So please, try to be very careful about the silence for all the other people and for you. That's very important. So, sometimes you may feel that those rules are a little bit cumbersome, or you feel a little bit trapped in that. Please reflect very carefully that it's not because we are following some special tradition, or it's just because the tradition found that that was the most helpful for the condition of meditation. So keep that in mind and try to respect those rules and those precepts. You see, maybe like the samurai will be given his sword in a very respectful way, I don't know, by a king or by a nobleman. In some tradition, those precepts are also given in a very noble way, where the teacher sitting there will recite the precepts in Pali, so that is very holy, and then you feel them, and then you feel that at the end, that you are given the precepts in a very committed way. So, we don't want to do that here, yet it is still something very important. And although they may not appear, but they may appear like limitations, it is only a limitation which is the door of our freedom for this retreat. Now about the technique that we are using or the meditation that we are using, there also seems some type of meditation. Yet again, it is in the sense of exploring freedom. The Buddha, before passing away, said, according to the text, that to his disciple, he said, be a light, Sadhguru. So he did not say, you go out in the world and look at the stars or read the scripture. He said, be a light unto yourself. And this light is not found for ourselves in a very deep reasoning, in reading scriptures, very complex scriptures. But this light is found in our own experience. The light is our own experience, every instant. So that's nowhere to look else. So we will come back to our experience in our practice, in our meditation practice. Now, if we are just staying here, just sit down and be with your own experience at every instant, we will find out for most of us that is going to be difficult. We will be carried away by some type of experience or by some other. So that's why we will restrict the field of our experience in order to establish a much better contact and intimacy with ourselves. So this restriction that we are choosing really in our practice is really to be with breath. Our breathing process is going on always, not something that we have to think about, oh, I forgot to breathe, you know, since half an hour, so I should step back to it and breathe again. It is always here. So, coming back to this experience, and our breath is something which is very close to ourselves, which is in a very deep intimacy with ourselves. So, coming back to this experience may be for a limitation in the field of our experience, but does not represent any limitation in the depth of the potentiality of experience. So the restriction is in the scope of experience, not in the possibility of the depth of our own experience. So we'll be seated in the most comfortable position possible, which for tamaso doesn't mean the same thing, of course. So, yet it is better to be to the back quite straight. Otherwise, you have to keep some tension when you are bent, and that quite quickly will bring some tightness and some pain in your back. So try to sit on the most straight position. Now, the head will be slightly down, and maybe one keep one eye closed. And as for the hands, find a position which is comfortable where you don't bring too much tension. You know, it's not a position that should be very like a teacher or a painting or something. It's nice, but maybe also painful. So find a comfortable position. For the legs, so there are different possibilities according to the different capacity. The best when the knees can be on the floor, even if it means to have some tension underneath you to rise the buttock so that it gives some stability. If your knees are up, often it brings quite soon some tension. So if you can put them on the floor, then that's okay. And you will also see that your position will change during the retreat. Usually when one starts, one needs to also bring some tension from the work, from the drive and so on. And slowly, as the mind relaxes, the body also will be more relaxed, and you will feel that the position finds its own place, naturally. So don't force it into the technique, especially at the floor. If they can go on, and that will be nice. So just give it a chance to be done. You can close the eye. And only in case of very, very much sleepiness, you may listen very slightly of some light and don't fall asleep. But you need better to keep them closed. And then just give it a breath. You can just keep the eye open for like 1 second. I will just try to explain what is the quality of the breathing, you see. Can you make a gesture with your hand like that? Just try to feel your hand moving. So feel the beginning of the movement and the end of the movement. So can you do that in the past? Can you do that 5 minutes ago? Or maybe in the future? Do that tomorrow. But now, do it tomorrow now. So that's not possible. For the breath is the same. The breath is always happening right now. And when it is at the beginning, it is the beginning. When it is the middle, it is the middle. When it is the end, it is the end of the breath. It comes all it together, you know, like into all of these movements and at once. So the quality of breathing is also that it's just like happening right now. It's not possible, and it's very obvious, it's not possible to do it in the past or in the future. As any of our experience, but this one is more clear. So just stay with your breathing from the beginning to the end and try to be in contact. And if you are distracted, that may happen for some of us, you come back to the breath. No. If you notice that you are distracted and you come back to the breath, you arrive in the process of meditation. So there will be guided meditation tomorrow, and also questions and answers in small groups. And for the beginners, they will be able to check each other as well. The practice, the instructions are not difficult at all. It's always the same from the beginning to the end to give you the experience. So they're very complex, but yet one has to understand within the experience itself. I understand. So we'll practice for. Thank you to me. Just to experience it for ourselves.